Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. College football gets underway this weekend. It's going to be an absolutely great weekend. Tony Barnhart is Mr. College Football. He'll be in Memphis tonight talking at the Memphis Touchdown Club, and he joins us now. Tony, how are you?
It's game week, boys. Oh, I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I got my ankles taped. I'm ready.
Yes. We are excited to have you, and obviously here tonight in Memphis, always good to have you. Let's go through a few things here. Do you see, if you squint hard enough, do you see a loss on Alabama's schedule?
Can't squint that much. Can't do it. No, there's only two games where I think they may get taken deep into the fourth quarter, and that's, of course, going to Texas A&M on October 12th and hosting LSU on November 9th. LSU is so athletic. But, no, I do not see a loss on Alabama's schedule.
Is that sort of a result of just the stability there at quarterback? Is that, and obviously, you know, Alabama's always going to have a stout defense, but is it more about Tua being there and just how good he's been?
It's more about having number one ranked recruiting classes in four of the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And their quarterback, of course, Tua's stability there, and the best set of wide receivers you're ever going to see. And Najee Harris, the running back that everybody wanted two years ago. So it's about talent, it's about quarterback, and it's about the fact that the guy coaching them is pretty good coach.
What would it take for LSU to challenge them in the West? I mean, we expect them to have a great defense, right? Is it about getting more explosive on offense?
It really is no more complicated than that. Yeah. They played a good game last year, holding Alabama to 29, but guess what? They scored zero.
Yes, sir.
And so you've got Nick Saban went through this same exact thing, but he was winning. I mean, I remember sitting in his office and asking him, I've always asked him what's next, because he's always a step or two or three ahead of folks. And one day I asked him, what's next? He said, we got to start scoring more points. I said, but you're winning. Yeah, but we got to start scoring more points. Mm-hmm. Next thing I know, he's hired Lane Kiffin, and they're off to the races. So this is what Ed Orgeron is going through right now. This is what Les Miles never could quite grasp, is you've got to score more points, and that's the key at LSU, because they got great athletes across the board.
Do you think deep down Orgeron's going to trust Brady? Tony, do you think he's going to let him open it up, that he'll be able to, you know, hands
that
off?
That is always the question.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, and I talked to other people, I said, okay, LSU brought in Joe Brady. Yep. They're going to expand the offense. They're going to put in the RPO. And this time they really mean it. Okay. The last nine times they told us they didn't, because the game, they do it and talk about it and talk about it.
Yes, sir.
Then the game would roll around and they wouldn't do it.
Right.
It's totally up to Orgeron.
Yeah, we are, of course, talking to Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart. He'll be in Memphis tonight talking at the Memphis Touchdown Club. This weekend, it's week zero in college football. Miami, Florida, pretty good game on ESPN. First year for Manny Diaz. How do you think he will do there? That seems to be a tougher job than it seems to be on paper, just because of expectations, and maybe it's not as a program where it used to be. How do you think Manny will do there at Miami?
I think down the road he'll do fine. I think right now they've got so many questions. They got, you know, they've got a brand new quarterback that's always fraught with issues. I think their overall depth, the roster, is not where it needs to be. But Manny Diaz knows the culture. He knows the place. He knows how you've got to recruit, particularly in South Florida. So long term, I think they're going to be fine, and they're going to win a division championship, a coastal division championship at Miami. I'm just not convinced that it's going to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Florida, their opponent, went 10-3 last year under Dan Mullen. They bring back basically everybody offensively. Felipe Franks in the wide receiver unit there. I don't know if we're talking SEC East there with Georgia, but can they sustain that breakthrough this year?
They can, and I've got right now. I've got them going 10-2, losing to Georgia and LSU. But, you know, Dan Mullen got more out of Felipe Franks than I thought was possible. And now I think Felipe is going to make another step. But the issue at Florida, and my Florida friends disagree with me, I just see they got four new starters on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. And those four guys combined to start 141 games. I'm not great at math, but that seems like a lot.
Tony, I'll jump out of the SEC real quick because I got to ask you about Jalen in Oklahoma. What are you hearing on Hurts? And can that offense, I mean, it's hard to believe it could, but can it be as explosive? We know they've got the backfield, but can they be explosive, as explosive as they were with Murray and Mayfield with Hurts under center?
Well, the short answer is no, mm-hmm. because Jalen Hurts doesn't have the skill set of a Baker Mayfield,
of course,
or Kyler Murray. But what he can do, he first of all, he throws the ball better than people give him credit
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I agree.
I take you back to the SEC championship game with Georgia.
Yep.
He made some throws in that game that made you go wow because you didn't know he could do that. But he doesn't throw like those other guys in Oklahoma. So what does Lincoln Riley do? Mm-hmm. He figures out a way to put him in good passing situations and to take advantage of his wheels, which are really good.
While we are outside the SEC, I want to ask you, you're going to be in Memphis tonight speaking at the Touchdown Club. Given the kind of success that he has had at Memphis, does it sort of surprise you that you're coming back for yet another talk at the Touchdown Club and Mike Norvell is still here at Memphis?
Yeah. Yes, yes, it does. Because Mike Norvell is going to, you know, he's done a tremendous job at Memphis, and I've got them. They're my Boise State this year, and I think Memphis is that good. And somebody's going to come after Mike Norvell and throw a bunch of money at him. So it's going to happen. I don't want that for my Memphis friends because I know how much they care about the program and how much they care about him. But it's going to happen, and eventually happen. You know, Neil Brown is a great analogy here. Neil Brown did an incredible job at Troy, but waited until the right
opportunity,
not just a job, but the right job came along, and then West Virginia came along. I'm thinking the same thing with Coach Norvell.
You know, it's funny because you know you've been coming into Memphis and speaking at the Touchdown Club for so long, and you've seen Memphis at its absolute worst. I mean, there were many years where you'd come in, I'm sure, and Memphis would not even be relevant whatsoever, even in this city. Yet here they are today. You know, they've won the division, they've been in the conference championship game. You know, and they're paying Mike Norvell $2 million plus. I mean, the idea that they are, that Memphis football is paying their coach $2 million. Did you ever think we would get to that day?
No, I didn't, because I never thought. Well, first of all, none of us, we knew the money would be big in college football, but none of us thought the money would get this big. I mean, with the amount of money that the playoff is generating, but it has. And yeah, the idea that Memphis, well, any school at that level, mm-hmm. at their level, beyond the Power Five, is spending $2 million a year just blows your mind. But you know what? They've got it, and that's why they're spending it.
Tony, I'm just curious. Did you see this story on Hugh Freeze kind of came out of nowhere, have the surgery to, you know, to a potentially life-threatening staph infection? I don't know if you saw that, if you've talked to him. And do you think he finds his way back? Yeah.
Yeah, I did see him, and I traded text messages with Coach Freeze this morning, and he's okay. But
okay.
It was scary.
Man.
Just really, really, but you know, I had a family member that got a bad infection that ended up being fatal. So I know what can happen in those situations. And so yeah, and once an infection gets going, luckily they got to the right medical people early.
Mm-hmm. So
based on some of the reports I read, and they got some of the best people in the country in there right away. But it was. Yeah, that was scary.
Let's assume he gets his health back. You ever think he gets another chance at the big level?
I think so. I don't know that it's going to be in the SEC, but mm-hmm. you know what, I've learned about the year, to project the landscape a year from now is fraught with peril.
Yes, sir.
You try to do it 3 or 4 years from now and know how people are going to be perceived and not perceived and all that. And so, from a talent standpoint, I don't think there's any question that Hugh Freeze is one of the best offensive minds working the game today. The question becomes, it's got to be in the right situation with the right director of athletics, the right president, there's a lot of issues in that situation.
Yeah, we are, no talking question. To Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, in Memphis later today to speak at the Touchdown Club here in Memphis. HBO is bringing Hard Knocks to college football. That's the way it sounds. And it sounds like Washington State and Mike Leach are going to be the feature of the first
season. Of course.
Season. Can you think of a better premier subject than Mike Leach?
Yeah, I mean, because it's got to be somebody who doesn't care how he's perceived in the media. And how many coaches like that do we have?
Not many.
One.
Yep, that's right.
Mike Leach does not care. His attitude will be, I don't care what they say about me. All I know is my program's going to be on national television, and people are going to watch it, and some recruit somewhere in Hayhira, Georgia, is going to go, boy, I like to play for that guy. And so, yeah, that's why he's doing it.
Yeah, no, I am very excited about that series. I cannot wait. And then I have to ask you, you know, we are here in Tennessee, and I think this is a question on everybody's mind. Do you think Tennessee ever gets back to what they were, I mean, even under Fulmer, or has the landscape in college football just changed too much?
Well, I know that's a big topic. It was my man Matt Hayes, I think, said that Tennessee will never get back to what they were. I don't buy that. There's too much tradition. They've got
money.
The resources.
Yes.
Yeah, they've got money. They got everything they need to be successful. But, and this is what I try to convince my Tennessee fans, when they don't understand. Football is not a real complicated game. Usually the team with the best players wins. All right? Tennessee hasn't had the best players in a long, long time. Well, how do you fix that? Well, you go recruit and convince really good players to come to your school. And that's what Jeremy Pruitt and his staff are doing. I mean, first of all, I love this Tennessee staff. This is one of the best staffs in the country. Bringing in Jim Chaney is just a home, total home run. But from a roster standpoint, they're not even close to where they need to be. They had some moments last year to build on, beating Auburn, beating Kentucky. That's good. But sustaining it through the SEC, they're not particularly up front on the line of scrimmage. They're not even close to where they need to be.
Tony, is this put up or shut up time for old Harbaugh up there and knocking off Ohio State this year?
Well, don't you think Coach Khaki Pants has got to win one sooner or later?
That's what I'm thinking.
I've got them picked high because they're really good.
Yes, sir.
And it's against my own better judgment to pick them before they've won something, but I will give them credit. He brought in Josh Gattis on the offensive coordinator finally take advantage of what Shea Patterson can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got the guy and they didn't know how to use him.
Yep.
Well, now it looks like they will if Harbaugh will get out of the way.
Same
and
thing.
Let them run the offense.
Yep.
And that's the key.
Get out of the way.
It is. Tony, always appreciate the time, man. Thanks
Thank
so much.
Thank you for this.
All right, guys, thanks.
Yep. Yes, sir.
He is Tony Barnhart, a.k.a. Mr. College Football. He will be in Memphis later tonight talking at the Touchdown Club in Memphis. Yeah, it is. It is amazing. Kind of sneaks up on you, but we got a big football game this week in Miami and Florida.
Looking forward to it. It's in Orlando, right?
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Did you see that news, too? I don't think we touched on it yet, but Sid Benson, you know, 36.
Man, that
was the second best running back in Texas history, one of the best running backs ever.
That was
college
sad.
Football.
Yeah.
I mean, 36 and just kind of getting his life together and he just always seems sad in his story ends so tragically.
Yeah.
I meant to ask about that, but yeah.
Yeah, one of the all-time great college running backs.
No doubt.
You know, and didn't quite have the pro career. I mean, he had some decent years in the NFL.
Particularly with Cincinnati after
after the Bears, for
That's
sure.
That's good teams.
And you'll see that happen every now and then.
He was his own man, though.
But, yeah, really, really sad. And it's one of the – I mean, 36 years old just feels insanely
– I know.
You know.
And Hugh Freeze was that close, apparently, to death itself as well.
By the way, on Hugh Freeze, he will 100% be a head coach in the Power Five again.
Well, that's why he's still doing it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is your road back.
If Bobby Petrino can get another job in the Power Five or in college football, you know, like it will happen again for Hugh Freeze. All that matters is if you're a good coach and if you get good players. You know, like that's the only thing that matters.
No, it's a good thing they got to him when they did and got the surgery because it sounded like it was going to get a lot worse really quickly.
Yeah, so anyway, thanks to Tony Barnhart for joining us. We'll come back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.